This is a Collider.com audio interview.
No, I interviewed Seth's partner, Evan.
Yeah, he's great.
We talked all about it. I'm calling it this summer's Superbad.
Okay.
Because it comes out same time, the whole thing. So.
What about this summer's Tango and Cash? Come on.
If you want to call, we can call. So interview starts. David calls his movie.
This summer's Zapped again.
I'm going to say it's better than Zapped Again. I'm going to go out there. By the way, this room is nice and cool, unlike the one we were just
in. I know, man. I was breaking. That's why I was getting naked in here.
This is just, much, much better. Okay, so let's do a little backstory. Let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
When did you first want to become a filmmaker? When did that all come about?
All the time.
Since, the moment you remember?
I love movies.
Okay. A lot of people... The thing about your name is it's always associated with very serious, very artistic, very... You have that name, David Gordon Green kind of thing.
It's a dramatic name.
It's true.
I put the middle name in there so it'd sound more black.
I'm not going to comment either way on that. What I will say, though, is a lot of people associate you with these serious movies. And with Pineapple Express, you are officially kicking the door open into another, genre movement. I had heard that you had been trying to kick that door open for a little while, and it was finally Judd Apatow who said, come on in, we want you here.
Because everybody keeps saying you're too weird, your sense of humor doesn't fit in anywhere, and then all of a sudden they're like, no, we want this. This would be great. Let's go wild. Let's have some fun.
So how did you get to meet Judd, and how did, for you, Pineapple Express, if you don't mind me talking a little bit about this.
You know Danny McBride?
I do.
Okay. So after everybody saw Footfist, and everybody said, where'd you come from? Have you ever acted before? And he's like, yeah, I was in this movie, All the Real Girls. And everybody's like, what's that? So then everybody saw it, and then they're like, oh, we like this. Who made this? And so that was like, it had its second life, kind of, based on Danny's kind of exposing it. So it was cool.
And is that the reason why Danny is in Pineapple?
Danny's in Pineapple because I just don't know how to make movies without him because he's too funny to have around. I mean, if you're going to make a comedy, how do you do it without him? So he introduced me to them, and then I went out and hung out and them, knocked up, set, and, we all kicked around and had a great time, so let's do something together.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, I believe when you first came to L.A., you might have worked a little bit in the test screening process.
I did. I worked for NRG.
Exactly.
How do you know that?
I do research before I come into rooms.
Oh, I don't even know if I've ever said that anywhere. That's interesting. But I did, yeah. I was a guy that would, pass out the shit and take it,
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess maybe it wasn't public knowledge. Who cares? What matters?
It's interesting because one of the guys that I met working there, I brought to all the test screenings. He still helped. I mean, not the guy that he doesn't work. He hadn't worked there. He doesn't work there anymore. Now he does Girls Gone Wild stuff. But it was cool to have him kind of come and help escort me through and talk through kind of the process from behind the scenes because he worked there more and knew more about life than I do.
I wanted to know, how did working for the company that does the test screening process, how did that affect you as a filmmaker? Did you learn anything from that, working for the company?
Yeah, I learned to get the hell out of there and make movies my way.
Okay.
It was inspiring. It was like, great, okay, people want this kind of thing. I don't like these movies. I don't like the way that the mediocrity is being driven into the minds of studio executives because of the tolerance of an audience. Let's just make something crazy, and if you build it, they will come. And maybe not tomorrow, but if you stick to your guns and put your fingerprints on shit and make it smart and surround yourself by people you trust and make cool decisions, people are gonna want something fresh one of these days. And I mean, I can't tell you how many garbage after garbage screenings and recuts I had to sit through and be like, it's depressing that they're even spending money on any of these movies. So why don't I just go away and do something entirely different, designed to fail from every commercial element and aspect. So I went away and kind of got confident and figured out where it works. And I'm, the only movies I don't go see art movies. I love to make them, but I only go see popcorn movies. So then I'm designing kind of my own kind of confidence as a filmmaker, determined to find a world where that blends with what people are going to see. Because there were days when, Deliverance was a huge box office draw and wins Academy Awards, or The Blues Brothers comes out and makes $120 million, or whatever it made. There were times when great movies made a ton of money. They were innovative and exciting and unpredictable. So I just, you know, I'm a very optimistic guy. I just know that you can't just, nobody's going to give you money to go off and be weird until you establish yourself and, you know, convince them that that's a safe bet.
I guess my follow-up to that is Judd loves to test his movies. Mm-hmm. He's famous for testing after testing of all of his films. You guys have tested Pineapple Express a number of times. How has the testing process adjusted or altered your cut?
Well, even on, you know, we tested Snow Angels a couple times just because I wanted to see how, you know, where an audience thinks it's too much. Or, you know, Snow Angels was actually a specific kind of, even more so than Pineapple, to learn where, because I wanted to have comedy in it, but where if Nicky Cat's running into the house and he slips and falls, we let him fall, it's fucking funny. If we, and he needs to slip, but where within the frame do you get the big laugh versus where do you get the human imperfection and draw that line? So, you know, finding those within watching the crowd is very valuable to me. And it's one thing for me and my editor to be sitting in a room, but if you show it to an audience of 1,000 people, there's no arguing. It's either funny or it's sad or whatever it is, they're dictating it. And the same thing goes for Pineapple, more comedic-driven stuff. Like, if I think something's totally hilarious, but it's an awkward silence in an audience of 450 people in Burbank, like, it's probably going to be annoying to have that in the movie. And there's a few things I thought were really... And there's a few things in the movie that I don't particularly think are funny, but you see fucking 17-year-old stoners rolling the aisles, you're like, let's give them one.
So, you mentioned to me that you've done a few cuts and the movie's gotten even wackier, you've added a new soundtrack. What is the... Where are you at with the film now?
It's done.
It could be released tomorrow.
Yeah.
And how are you...
The poster's pretty cool. You know what the tagline is?
Maybe.
What?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I know it or not.
Put this in your pipe and smoke it.
Is that what's on the poster?
Yeah.
Isn't that... See, here's what's interesting. A lot of people talk about the MPAA and what you're allowed to get away with and what you're not allowed to get away with. And that's something else I wanted to ask you about. You guys made a stoner comedy about pot, about weed, about smoking, about... I mean, everything the MPAA frowns on.
Yes, rated R.
And how do you advertise this? You know, are you running into any stumbling blocks?
Yes, a green van trailer. wait till the 28th when they put a trailer in theaters that has no cuss words or violence or weed.
I mean, but are you, as a filmmaker, are you a little concerned? Or do you think that the internet can basically break? Because you guys released a red van trailer, which just... Yeah, exactly. Please. I know.
It'll be fine. It's fine. I'm not worried. Sony's fucking great at marketing.
Definitely.
It'll be fine.
Are you looking forward to going to Comic-Con this year?
Am I going to go to Comic-Con? I would love to go to a Comic-Con. That'd be fun. I think we come out right before that, though.
I thought you come out in August. Or do you come
August
out in
8th.
Well, Comic-Con's the end of July.
Oh, then I guarantee you we'll be there fucking hustling.
I was going to say, James, you know, you could...
I've never been, so it'll be fun. I'd go when they'd have the cons in Dallas. That was pretty fun.
Sony, they'll probably put you on stage with these 7,000 people in the big Hall H. You, Judd, you know, the whole gang coming through, probably even premiering the movie down there or showing the movie down there.
We got to talk about Snow Angels before you have to leave, though.
Okay, I'm very sorry. Well, I'm running the roundtable.
So I'm going to be fucking talking about that all summer.
I'm running the roundtable as well.
Okay.
Like when we talked about it. So let's go into Snow Angels for a second.
Okay.
And divert. As a filmmaker, how tough is it to make a film, premieres at Sundance, and you have to wait 13 months for it to actually hit the theaters?
It didn't bother me.
A little bit? Or is it
no, I, you know, for me, honestly, I was intimidated by coming out against the End of the Wilds and the There Will Be Bloods and the No Countries for Old Men and getting my ass whomped. You know, like the higher profile movies of the same kind of emotional gravity and reaching for the same crowd. I was just, I'm intimidated by my idols. So I wanted to make sure that we steer clear to that. And it was a Warner Independent concept to find actually it was about a year ago when we were talking about this, and I knew the forecast of 07, and you know, they had it all laid out and we were looking at it, and they said, which I think is really smart, they said, this is a year ago today when it was right after the Indie Spirit Awards, and they said, we want to be coming out when the Wild Hogs of 08 are coming out. And I was like, that's perfect. It makes perfect sense because, you know, you can see Jumper or Step Up 2 or Snow Angels rather than trying to make a decision within the same texture, you know, the same world.
When you are traversing the subject matter that you are choosing to traverse, how tough is it for you to get financing for your movies?
It's tough to make little movies. It's easy to make big movies.
And do you think that now that I'm mixing in both films, but now that you've kind of done this big budget Hollywood movie, is your next goal to kind of do one for them, one for me?
No, just do them all for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
One more
and two more. Oh, wow, that goes really quick.
When you're having good times.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that. They try to be, you know, like, I look at guys like Michael Winterbottom. Like, he makes movies all over the place. They're crazy. They're not all great, but they're all very bold and innovative, and he's trying something. He's always making them for himself. I think that's pretty cool. Like, I say me, but my collaborators, my gang, my posse, which is growing and expanding, and they go away sometimes, they come back sometimes. So it's all very exciting. It's just like, what other bizarre opportunity and experience can we have?
So, I guess since I'm running...
We've already reached our goals, so we might as well just have a fucking wild ride for now, having fun.
yes, and I wanted to know, what are you currently writing right now? What's on your plate at home?
I'm just about finished with Suspiria.
Okay.
Remake of a 70s Italian horror film.
Yes.
And a John Grisham adaptation of this nonfiction story of an innocent man on death row. So I've been researching that, hanging out in Oklahoma.
With Suspiria, are you thinking about directing that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking about doing a horror movie?
Thinking about it. I'm getting ready to fucking hopefully go do that shit. I don't know, getting ready, but, you know, that's the idea.
Are you planning on doing this independently? Do you have studio backing?
No studio backing.
And are you already thinking, like, a budget in mind, casting, anything?
Just wild. Just artistic opera of horror.
And how close
beautiful is it? Jonathan Demme, Polanski, Kubrick horror.
That's fucking awesome.
That's the next stage of being weird.
That's awesome.
Have you seen the original?
If I have, I was very, very drunk.
Fucking goblin synthesizer music, and yeah, it's really awesome. Ballet school in Germany.
Are you planning on, how close is it to the original?
It's very close.
And have you just added any sort of modern...
Some character development. No modern shit. I don't like stuff like that. But like a little character development and some fleshing of stuff out and a little more mythology. You know, because he's done that trilogy now of the Three Mothers, Argento. So I just watch a lot of Argento movies and some other crazy, you know... I don't know. We watch a lot of weird shit. I wrote it with my sound mixer, my production sound mixer, who's worked on all my movies.
And I guess I had another question for you about the writing process. What is your writing process like? Are you able to go all day, or do you believe a lot of filmmakers talk about there's a golden period each day for 2 or 3 hours where you're really...
It depends, because I like to write with other people a lot. So in those cases, I like to just get up early and do a little bit myself and then get in a room with them and pound ideas back and forth and go for a walk and put on some music. You know, I can go all day.
Okay, and with the John Grisham, is this something that you think about directing, or mm-hmm. is this something... So this is...
Yeah, it's something I want to direct. This would be fun.
Okay.
Or not. I mean, it'd be heavy, heavy shit. Death Row is fucked up.
And what's the research been like for you, looking into these kind of things?
Very quiet.
Have you spoken to a lot of people?
Mm-hmm.
And
like, it's like, you have to do a lot of research and meet the real people and go visit, talk to wardens and things. It's weird. Everybody's quiet when you talk about Death Row. Even on Death Row, nobody's yelling and banging on pots and pans. Everybody's just looking at you. It's eerie. It's its own horror movie.
And how close is it to the book? Is it a... Are you adding... Is it...
It's like a lot less than the book. The book is massive and epic, and this is like a character study of a guy.
And so is that what it's... What is... I guess what is the... What is the one-liner for both of these projects that you're writing?
With that one, Innocent Man on Death Row. What's the other one? Suspiria?
Yeah.
Coven of Witches, run a ballet school in Germany.
I honestly, God, I know. I have to go. I cannot believe that this is a project that you're... So that's what you're doing next, for sure?
No, not for sure. It's a funny window of time right now with the perception of Pineapple, where, you know, people are talking to me about interesting stuff. So as long as it's funny and as long as I can't believe what somebody's talking to me about, then it becomes entertaining.
As a filmmaker, are you more excited now than you've ever been?
Yeah, because the opportunities are greater now than they've ever been. So that's cool.
Yeah, I welcome these movies with open arms.
Cool. And I need to do some sort of stage sitcom with like a laugh track, you know.
So you,
I'm working on that.
So the David Gordon Green TV, three
like,
cameras
like
coming.
Full House. It's called Don't Mind If I Do. It'll be good. It actually will be bad, but that's good. Like Perfect Strangers meets Full House.
You being serious with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that the network will want to do it, but I might just do it some weird shit.
Yeah, but hasn't the internet kind of opened up the ability to do whatever you want?
You know Homestar Runner?
Absolutely. Strongbad.
Those are my buddies.
Yeah.
And so we're working on like kid show ideas and stupid stuff, serious stuff that we could do. They're great.
Last question for you. You produce Great Wall of Sound.
World of Sound, yeah.
Right, I said that wrong, and I'm sorry.
Everybody
I actually promoted the film on the site. Are you trying to
do... They did a cool website for that. Have you seen that? The Chapman Brothers do that.
I have not seen the website, but the movie's really cool. Are you trying to do more producing?
Just from our great friends, like Craig. I have a movie coming out in April that I produced called Shotgun Stories. It stars Michael Shannon, this guy. You know Michael Shannon? He's one of the great character actors of our time.
If I saw his face, I definitely...
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's coming out in April. But again, these are guys I go to school with that I have a long track record with that I know aren't going to turn into weirdos. Because a lot of times you get into producing, I've flirted with people, and then all of a sudden they start acting weird, and you're like, go deal with yourself.
I
But great people, man. I'd do anything to support great movies getting made.